Hello, this is Pastor Henry with our 11th midweek memo. Here we are halfway through July already. I trust you are enjoying your summer so far. We are meeting together at the 11 o'clock hour at Grove Park Chapel and would love for you to come join us. We are, of course, taking necessary precautions to ensure everyone's health and safety. So if you can, we'd love to see you come visit. If you have a Bible with you, we will be looking today at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. The title of this week's midweek memo is Enjoy Your Life. It seems like we have gone through a lot of troubling days so far in this year. I don't think I need to remind us of all that has transpired in our country year to date. But with all that has gone on, I want us to make sure we take time to enjoy our life. It is too easy to stay focused on negative things. So today, we will try to stay focused on something positive. I would like to focus on four reasons why we should enjoy our life. In Ecclesiastes 9, verses 7 through 10, we find the first reason we should enjoy our life. Solomon writes, "Go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you were going." The first reason we should enjoy our life is because God wants us to enjoy our life. He wants us to enjoy life even in the mundane things we do. When we are eating, how should we eat? Well, the text says, eat your bread with joy. Food is a wonderful gift from God. You know, you've heard the old saying, we don't live to eat. We eat to live, but it's okay to be joyful when we are eating. When we are drinking, how should we drink? Again, the text says we are to drink with a merry heart. We wouldn't last too long in this life without something to drink. In our culture, we are blessed to have a vast variety of beverages to consume. On a side note, in these two simple things of eating and drinking, you know, we forget sometimes how important the discovery of refrigeration has impacted what we consume and when we consume it. We truly are blessed in this country. Besides eating and drinking, Solomon discusses dress. He says to dress with enjoyment in mind. White garments would be worn to celebrations as opposed to dark clothes for mourning. Where he says, let not oil be lacking on your head, to us would be freshen up. Don't look like you just climbed out of bed. Wash your face, comb your hair, and do whatever else you do to look refreshed. In verse 9, the author says to enjoy life with the wife whom you love. What a great blessing to have someone you love and someone who loves you to share life with. The Talmud, which is a collection of rabbinical writings from the first century, has an apropos quote on this topic. It says, quote, a man should eat and drink beneath his means, clothe himself within his means, and honor his wife above his means. In wrapping up this section, Solomon advises us to put ourselves into whatever we are doing. Whatever we find to do, do it with our might. We should enjoy life because God wants us to. Even the mundane routine things like eating, drinking, dressing, living with your spouse, and doing whatever tasks you find to do. There is a second reason we should enjoy life, and that is because death is certain. Listen to what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 2 and 3. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner. And he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. So really, what is Solomon saying? He's saying death comes to the wicked, but death also comes to the righteous. Death comes to the evil, but death comes to the good. Death comes to the unclean, and it comes to the clean as well. Death comes to those who are non-worshippers, but death also comes to those who worship. death comes to the sinner as well as the good one. Death comes to the non-oath makers as well as the oath makers. So death is a certainty. Solomon carries on this idea in verses 4 to 6 where he says, "But he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for their memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun." Here again, he's saying hope is only for the living. They know they will die and can still do something to impact their outcome. Of course, the dead cannot. Their outcome has been determined. Also, for the dead, it's too late for behavior modification, but not for the living. For the dead, it's too late to impact the world after death. You know, Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment." And then he's also saying that God is in control. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 1, he says, "The righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God." So death is a certainty. We should enjoy life because God wants us to. We should enjoy life because death is certain. There'll come a time when we won't be able to enjoy this life. And we should enjoy life because life is uncertain. Listen to what Solomon says in chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, verses 11 and 12. "Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those who with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time, like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare. So the children of men are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them." Really, what Solomon is saying is that there is no logic to how things transpire in this life. Notice some things he says. He says, talking about the swift, well, the swift don't always win the race. Talking about the strong, well, the strong don't always win the battle. Discussing the wise, you know, the wise don't always make a living. The intelligent, they don't always become rich. The knowledgeable, they don't get special treatment all the time. So he's also saying there is no guarantee for tomorrow when he talks about a fish being snatched away, you know, caught in a net, or a bird that's snared in a trap. There's no guarantee for tomorrow. Life isn't logical. There are lots of uncertain things that happen. Listen to a parable that our Lord told in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 16. He said, "And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Life is uncertain. Our best laid plans oftentimes do not come to fruition. Now, I do want to make a distinction here to clarify a point. When the Lord told this parable, he was careful to describe this man's plans by using the personal pronoun I. He used it 6 times for emphasis on what the rich man was planning on doing. The rich man never considered what the Lord wanted him to do or how he could benefit others. The end goal of his planning was to eat, drink, and be merry. That, of course, should never be our end goal. Our main goal in this life is to glorify God. If we are purely living for pleasure, then we will come to the same conclusion that Solomon arrived at. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. While we are living this life, I do believe our God wants us to enjoy it. Just look at his creation. We can only always marvel at the vastness and at the same time the minute intricacies he has laid out for us. He has surrounded us with image bearers who we can know and have fellowship and relationships with. Furthermore, he has given us the Holy Spirit, who works in us to produce fruit. Listen to the fruit of the Spirit described by Paul in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we live controlled by God's Spirit, we will enjoy life, even when life may not be enjoyable. Yes, today, in 2020 America, we should enjoy our life. We should enjoy life because God wants us to. Even the mundane things in life. We should enjoy life because there will come a time when we will no longer be a participant in this life. We should enjoy life because this life is truly uncertain, as we have seen in just the first half of this year. And finally, we should enjoy life because God's Spirit lives within God's people and is working to produce fruit in His people that will glorify God and benefit others. Can you think of any greater joy than that? Until we talk again, may God bless and keep you safe.